Chapter 8. Concurrent Design, Putting Design Plans into Development Action. Abstract. In the WBID model, design and development activities are completed concurrently. The design planning, which results in the WBI strategy worksheet, is the basis for developing the prototypes and online instruction. Additionally, message and visual design principles help guide the development, assembly, and organization of the instruction and LMS/website content. Initial development tasks include developing an interface prototype, creating flowcharts, and developing storyboards. Later development tasks include fully developing the digital elements that will be deployed in the LMS, converting prototypes into web pages, and incorporating media. Formative evaluation procedures are included to ensure that resulting online instruction meets design specifications. This chapter begins with a discussion on basic principles related to message and visual design within an LMS framework. Next, we present a brief strategy of an interface, including the use of visual metaphor and analogy, which culminates in sketching an interface and revising the initial prototype based on message design. We then introduce and discuss types of flowcharts and two types of storyboards that can be used to develop online instruction. A discussion on the technical issues associated with development follows. The chapter closes with an overview of final development tasks related to formative evaluation. Objectives. At the end of this chapter, you should be able to do the following. Identify appropriate principles of message and visual design for development. Define interface. Explain when a visual analogy or metaphor should be used in online instruction. Sketch an interface prototype. Develop flowcharts for online instruction. Explain two types of storyboards and their purposes. Develop a storyboard as an initial prototype. Develop the prototype. Identify any technical problems. Establish parameters for developing online instruction. Continue formative evaluation while developing prototypes. Introduction. The last part of the concurrent design stage is development, Figure 8.1. Recall that in Chapter 6, we identified specific development tasks in the pre-planning activities. They include creating, assembling, and organizing the digital assets, including individual web pages and the LMS based on the design. The coordination of these items is the basis for pulling the instruction together and leveraging technology for the success of the learning environment. The purpose of these tasks is to provide an innovative, educationally sound online course that allows participants to navigate intuitively. The use of an LMS has transformed the development of online instruction for the traditional designer with few computer programming skills. The level of technology skills required when using an LMS is analogous to skills in using productivity software. To increase technical skills and creative talents, designers can access help ranging from online tutorials and how-to guides to formal technology workshops. Creative skills are more difficult to learn. We suggest that designers read about message and visual design, examine other websites for their visual composition, and continue to practice. For the creatively challenged, there are a multitude of support resources and mechanisms to gain inspiration and materials. For instance, Creative Commons is an organization that has created a series of licenses that enable individuals to share their own work as well as build on and use the work of others, Figure 8.2. These products range from digital assets such as graphics, music, videos, and presentations. Depending on the type of license, share, or adapt, designers can use materials from Creative Commons with appropriate attribution and credit in their own work. A general progression of developing online instruction is to sketch the interface, develop the flowchart and storyboards, and produce the prototypes or incorporate the prototypes into an LMS. Even when using an LMS, there is some flexibility in the structure, format, and design of a particular page and how the digital assets can be integrated. Concurrently, formative evaluation procedures continue to be used to identify strengths and weaknesses of the learning environment, including technical problems and alignment to the design plan. However, the ordering of tasks may vary at the designer's discretion in response to the project's evolution. To understand these tasks and their purposes, the designer must take into consideration how message design influences development. We begin with a brief discussion of message and visual design. Applying message and visual design to online instruction. The presentation of online instruction, content, and activities is based not only on sound instructional design, ID, principles, and learning theory, but also on communication theory and principles. Bishop finds that communication and the corresponding messages play a crucial, essential role in learning environments. Message design encompasses the visual features of text and graphics, as well as their placement on the page. For instance, the use of buttons, icons, and links, as well as text and digital assets, audio, video, and multimedia, help learners navigate through a course and, in turn, effectively learn the content. Ideas based on message design help designers ensure effective transactional communication based on dialogue and interchange of information between and among instructor and learners. Message design. One way to think about message design and learner perceptions is to consider how efficient online instruction can be. Mayer identified five principles to reduce extraneous processing, which he defines as, quote, cognitive processing that wastes precious cognitive capacity but does not help the learner build an appropriate cognitive representation, end quote. These principles are coherence, include only information that is relevant to the instruction. Signaling, use cues, icons, highlighting, etc. to draw attention to critical information, assignments, processes, etc. Redundancy, reduce multiple simultaneous representations of content. In this example, italicized words are redundant. Make narration closed caption an option rather than automatic start. Spatial contiguity, keep related items together. For example, graphics next to text. Temporal contiguity, keep related items together. For example, narration and presentation or animation. The integration of Mayer's principles into the design strategies helps the designer keep learner needs in mind as the messages and visual design are formulated. Message design in online instruction requires special considerations to impart to the separation of learner and instructor. Directions must be clear. The information must be organized so that it is easy to understand. Feedback should be readily available, and navigation should be easy and straightforward. The designer concentrates on the text, graphical elements, and media to make sure that any noise is reduced and that the instructional message is clear and understood. Noise, or interference, includes unclear directions, inappropriate or irrelevant visuals or text, poor navigational metaphors, and inadequate visual elements such as poor backgrounds, unreadable font styles and sizes, and uncomplementary color combinations. Table 8.1 outlines basic principles to guide designers when making these initial development decisions. Part of developing an effective instructional message is to make it appealing. To develop an attractive course, the designer needs a conceptual understanding of the principles related to visual design. Visual design. Visual design is associated with the aesthetics of the pages, whether hosted in an LMS or not, functionality, and the deliberate positioning of elements, including menu items. Just as message design has a set of principles, visual design has a similar set of principles that are complementary in nature and substance. Visual design involves six basic principles: color, contrast, repetition, alignment, balance, and simplicity. Used in combination, these principles guide designers to create visually attractive online instruction. A detailed description of other visual design principles is beyond the scope of this textbook. However, we provide an overview of the six visual design principles in Table 8.2. The basic functionality and interface of an LMS cannot be substantially altered by a designer. In-place aesthetics and functionality, then, must be leveraged to create a balanced learning environment. The integration of elements to create visually pleasing, technically precise, and educationally sound online instruction should lead to clean, crisp, and clear designs that help learners accurately receive and interpret the instructional message. However, what looks good to a learner is not only in the eye of the beholder, but should be based on those theories, principles, and evidence-based practices related to visual design. Fonts and styles. An example of identifying visually pleasing and instructionally sound elements is the selection of fonts, also called typefaces, and type style. Thousands of fonts are available, and designers must select one or two that are best for their learning environment. Font selection should be based on its readability and legibility, which can vary due to its size, the type style, boldface, italics, etc., and use of upper and lower case. Readability and legibility of fonts will vary by learner opinion and delivery system. In other words, what is pleasing and appropriate for one individual may not be for another. What is suitable for one delivery system, books, computers, etc., may not be suitable for another. For online instruction, Lynch and Horton, as well as Lohr, suggest that the designer select commonly used typefaces, either serif or sans serif. To help guide the learner, a sans serif font could be used for headings and serif for narrative, and at the same time, an example of contrast. Highly stylized fonts are not readable. In addition, fonts that are small or thin can be difficult to read. Further, if using an LMS, a designer should be aware of what fonts are included in the LMS. Additional steps might need to be taken to add additional fonts, e.g., create a new template or link to a CSS file. Charts, tables, and other illustrations. Charts, tables, and other types of illustrations can facilitate comprehension and learning. Laura maintains that when designing or adding graphics to instruction, they should be not only interesting but functional. She further suggests that graphics that are driven by the technology rather than by the instruction are generally not well designed or meaningful. Figure 8.3 provides several graphics that are not appropriate for online instruction because they lack contrast and have visual clutter. Ultimately, well-designed graphics provide a visual perspective of the information presented, are practical, and support the message and add meaning to the content. Examples of clear, uncluttered graphics are shown in Figure 8.4. Color. Although appropriate color adds to aesthetic appeal, graphics may not add to or enhance an instructional message. The use of color may create visual clutter for some learners. Other participants may not be able to see details within the image due to color blindness. Finally, even when graphics are visually appealing, clear, and meaningful, the designer must consider whether visual complexity, such as visual effects of blurring, washing out, or transparency, has been added. Overall, a general guideline for designers is to select or create simple, clear graphics that are a small file size, because they will load quickly, that will reduce noise and minimize learner frustration. Consistency. The use of consistent text, graphics, and media is fundamental to developing well-designed online instruction. Consistency among graphics and text reduces cognitive overload by removing unnecessary complexity and making the online instruction easier for learners to use. By contrast, inconsistent online instruction creates confusion and is harder to navigate. This confusion occurs when different fonts, styles and sizes, graphic types, and random links have neither rhyme nor reason for their placement and use, creating a disjointed appearance throughout the learning environment. Likewise, inappropriate visuals, flashing GIF animations, scrolling text, and odd color combinations decrease the full potential of online instruction. Instead of enhancing learning, extensive use of such elements only distracts learners. However, some embellishment can be added to a consistent layout to create visual interest and style. Laura suggests that a consistent layout without some embellishment is too predictable and boring. The skill is in knowing the right amount of embellishments to add to online instruction. Gardenscapes. Elliot and Callie agree to use the general message and visual design guidelines for developing their Gardenscapes prototypes and integrate the two sets of guidelines into one matrix to use for storyboard through final product. The TDLC has a guide manual that identifies default standards for fonts, font size, and color for the staff to follow. They also use the TLDC job aid, message and visual design principles to help ensure consistency. The interface. An interface is what the learner sees when viewing a web page and is made up of text, graphical elements, and other media. Designers must determine how an interface will be perceived and experienced by the user. Because the look and feel of a website, the navigational and structural features, influences its usability. The interface should be designed in such a fashion that the learner doesn't even notice it. Interface elements that facilitate intuitive navigation include consistent placement and behavior, as well as integrated supports. An interface that is structurally sound allows learners to use it intuitively. This intuitiveness helps learners succeed not only in navigating through the website, but in learning the instructional content. Use of metaphors and analogies. One of the first considerations in developing the interface is to decide whether to use a visual analogy or metaphor. Visual analogies are ways to describe or illustrate the unfamiliar by comparing it with something familiar, invoking prior learning and experience. An instructional metaphor is a representation of a mental model that helps guide learners through a learning experience. A visual analogy or a metaphorical representation should be something familiar to the learner and should complement the content or the idea being presented in the online instruction. Analogies and metaphors are often used in computer-based training and online instruction to help learners recognize some particular aspect of the instruction. Metaphors are useful in that they link prior experiences to the current environment. They promote and link learning by permitting individuals to activate prior knowledge to complete instructional materials. An example of a metaphor is the use of movie controls to navigate the online instruction. Figure 8.5 shows icons that can be used for aspects or features of online instruction. Not everyone agrees that metaphors or analogies are necessary in online instruction. There are many examples of the misuse or inappropriate use of metaphors. Laura suggests that designers carefully consider the cultural implications of color, graphics, and meaning for the specific audience to ensure a good fit. When developing or using a metaphor, designers must carefully determine whether and how well it represents the related content, context, or idea. Sketching the interface. The basic elements of an interface include the analogy or metaphor components, text, graphics, media, and navigational placeholders. Designers must define each of these elements. When sketching the interface, the designer gathers the graphics, icons, text, and other elements together. Once gathered, the process of fitting them together can begin. When using an LMS, the interface is predefined, permitting little modification. However, designers can concentrate on the arrangement of information that they have control over. To help create prototypes quickly, Rudd, Stern, and Asensi suggest that prototype development may start out with low-fidelity images, such as an interface produced as a paper and pencil sketch. Low-fidelity prototypes allow the designer and others to generate visual ideas quickly and agree without delay on the direction of the prototype. As the development progresses toward final draft, high-fidelity prototypes are created. An interface developed with a computer in a graphics program has higher fidelity than the paper and pencil sketch. Using presentation or graphics software, designers can manipulate the location or arrangement of the interface elements as a part of a rapid prototyping technique as the interface takes shape. Gardenscapes. Elliot and Callie discuss the interface for their Gardenscapes project. Because Callie wants to emphasize creating a garden, they decide to develop a metaphor of a growing garden as the general interface. Their initial idea is to use different aspects of gardening to identify the various class activities within the 6 lessons and supplemental resources. They plan to use icons as information so that learners know where to go next in the lessons and the subcomponents. They will use the CJC's LMS, so only have control over the internal web pages, not the entire system. Elliot and Callie begin gathering graphics, including the sun, flowers, web icons, garden tools, seed packets, plants, butterflies, and bird baths. Elliot starts sketching the initial interface. Initial interface sketches for main page of Gardenscapes, without placement. Elliot refers to his message and visual design notes while he develops the interface. As Callie and he review the various prototypes, they revise or select other options for icons. In their latest version, the chosen graphics relate to the garden themes and common web icons. Common buttons and links will be found on all web pages. They plan to use text, graphical elements, and media to present information. Adequate white space on web pages will reduce density and complexity. Elliot designs the web pages with complementary colors to add unity to the message. He chooses to use only 4 colors for left, borders, etc. They will be applied consistently throughout the online instruction. He chooses to employ garden-based icons. For example, a hand cultivator or hoe might signify an activity. The LMS menu is located at the left side of the screen. To the right of the menu, below the course icons, will be space for the content presentation, activities, and directions. Elliot's revised interface follows. When interface design is completed, it is sent to Layla Gunnarsson. She will produce the final product and include it in the LMS. Flowcharting. Flowcharting illustrates the structure of online instruction as a single lesson, a collection of lessons or units within a course, or an entire program. A flowchart visually depicts the instructional flow. This flowchart does not contain instructional text or content. Instead, it informs navigational specifications, provides an outline of the instructional sequence. Maddox and Cummings suggest that designers develop flowcharts before committing resources to full development. A flowchart for a simple lesson is shown in Figure 8.6. In this sequence, learners are guided step by step through a lesson, beginning with a set of directions. As outlined in the WBI Strategy Worksheet, learners are presented with an introduction, a series of concepts, and opportunities for practice. The learners complete a summary and final assessment as they end the lesson. Flowcharting is directly related to learning environment navigation. The flowchart indicates the types of decisions that end users will be able to make based on how the units of instruction or lessons are sequenced and linked together. The example in Figure 8.7 is a linear navigational flow. Flowcharts can be created using a variety of task analysis and mapping applications, including PowerPoint, Inspiration, Visio, Google Drawing, and most word processing applications. Designers must answer the following questions when developing the flowchart. How will the learning sequence be organized? How will learners navigate the instruction? Will learners access the instruction in random or predetermined order? Will access to various sections of the instruction be restricted? Will there be a conclusion and assessment for each section of the instruction, or will there be one conclusion and assessment for the entire course or lesson? Flowcharts and learning management systems. Most LMSs provide a structure that assists designers in organizing instructional websites. While developing the flowchart, the designer examines the structure of the LMS, including how content is displayed and how features such as chat and discussions are accessed to minimize conflict between the proposed structure and requirements of the LMS. Gardenscapes. Elliot evaluates the different types of instructional sequences. The design most closely related to the conceptualization of the course is hierarchical with association. The course will be embedded into an LMS. Using the structural framework of the LMS, Elliot creates the following flowchart to represent how learners will process through the lesson. Storyboarding. Storyboards organize the directions, instructional content, and supporting information of the online instruction into a meaningful structure. Designers use storyboards to define what each created page will look like, and consequently, they serve as another type of prototype. In essence, storyboards formalize the interface and show how all of the pages function together. Storyboarding is the development step that illustrates how the instructional text, media, and graphical elements will be found on each web page. The text contains directions, instructional content, practice, and feedback that have been proposed in the WBI strategy worksheet. Refer to Chapter 7. The proposed media, also identified in the worksheet, include the graphic, video, and audio for these pages. The graphical elements include items such as charts, tables, image maps, icons, and buttons. Storyboarding permits quick product development and provides a means for making decisions about a course on the planned strategies, i.e., the WBI strategy worksheet, before the instruction is taken to the next level of development. Documenting these decisions and their approval on storyboards ensures consistency of content and uniformity of style, color, and element location. A style guide can be used with storyboarding. Style guides outline policy decisions of font, style, size, color, and placement, size of graphics, and conversational style, formal or informal. Style guides help organizations create uniformity among products. A style guide is especially useful when a design team is involved and when the project is complex or part of a series. The resulting consistency enables end users to navigate from one course to another without having to relearn icon, button, etc. placement. Types of storyboards. There are several formats for storyboards. Two types useful in developing online instruction are the detailed storyboard and the streamlined storyboard. Detailed storyboard. A detailed storyboard contains all the details about the web page, including all graphics, fonts, styles, color, size, background color, or image name, and navigational buttons. This storyboard should look very similar to the resulting online instruction, although design changes may occur after storyboards are created. Recall that Figure 8.7 shows a sample of a detailed storyboard. The storyboard displays the font choices, Comic Sans, and the relative sizes, headings, 14-point, text, 12-point, and visually depicts the relationship of the interface elements for each page. Any graphics can be sketched, or any clip art can be placed on the storyboard as well. The resulting web page from this detailed storyboard is illustrated in Figure 8.8. Note the ways in which the storyboard and the webpage are alike, and how they differ. Streamlined storyboard. The streamlined storyboard, which can be formatted as a table or a matrix, helps to organize all of the pages in a course. In a streamlined storyboard, the instructional pages for each lesson, based on the content and strategies provided in the WBI strategy worksheet, are identified for every webpage being developed. These pages state the alignment of the objectives, the instructional text, and media, graphics, animations, detailed storyboard, not full scale. If the information on content and strategies appears in the WBI strategy worksheet in sufficient detail, then the designer may simply copy and paste that information into the appropriate cells or a streamlined storyboard and add other information to the other cells, such as type of page, objective, concept, and navigation sites. In addition to the instructional web pages, other pages, such as a course title page, directions pages, and assignment pages, facilitate the online learning, and they too must be created. Table 8.3 presents a sample streamlined storyboard for an individual web page within a unit of the instruction, with the Figure 8.8 being the resulting web page for it. It is good practice to create both detailed and streamlined storyboards because their combined use ensures that the client identifies and reviews all information needed for the web pages, simplifying subsequent approval. Using both types of storyboards ensures that the development team has access to all of the necessary information to move forward. Gardenscapes. Elliot decides to use both detailed and streamlined storyboards to guide the development of Gardenscapes. The detailed storyboard is based on the previously defined interface. Storyboard for Gardenscapes Lesson 2. How does your garden grow? Choosing a garden 1. Elliot develops streamlined storyboards using the LTM, clustered objectives, and the WBI strategy worksheet. He works with Callie on how the instructional strategies and course content can be converted into web pages and integrated into the LMS. The following is part of his streamlined storyboard. This course is designed to provide both new and experienced gardeners with skills to create exciting, cutting gardens. Creating online instruction. Some designers enjoy the earlier stages of the WBID model and pay less attention to creating the actual online instruction, whereas others like to rush actual page development with little time spent on these early tasks. Taking too much time on the early tasks can put a project behind schedule. Yet rushing the development may result in numerous revisions and costly overruns, which could have been avoided by spending more time on the early tasks of concurrent design. When the design team, whether one person or many, has thought through the design and development tasks and made appropriate decisions throughout the concurrent design stage, the project should be on track in terms of resources, budget, and time, with the quality maintained. The next step is to develop the prototype. Because formative evaluation procedures are built into concurrent design, development decisions, prototypes, and final online instruction are reviewed similar to the way the design plans were evaluated. The designer must take care of the technical issues that could affect prototype development. Technical issues with development. Technical issues associated with development may include load speeds, server capabilities, and cross-browser functionality, as well as user access, copyright, maintenance, and use of web page editors. Using an LMS can simplify or avoid some technical issues, but can also present others. However, knowing fundamental questions helps the designer see the big technical picture. The issues outlined in this chapter should be used as a starting point for identifying organization-specific issues. Download speeds. Download speeds are not as much as an issue as they once were. High-speed internet access is now commonplace. However, pages should download as quickly as possible to decrease participants' frustration levels. Nielsen suggests that the simple rule is the faster the page is displayed, the better. Large files and graphics and media, such as streaming video, increase a page's complexity, and it will take longer to appear or load. Therefore, designers must consider carefully each item to make certain that it is relevant and necessary to the learning environment. Servers. Online instruction is hosted on local or external servers. In either case, designers need to work with technical staff to ensure that the servers, and specifically the online instruction, are working correctly. This requires a specialized technical knowledge and skills that most designers do not, nor need to, possess. Designers, however, need to know what to ask about these technical issues. In Table 8.4, potential questions are outlined to guide the designer on exploring technical issues with technical support staff. The list is not comprehensive. Other questions pertinent to the organization and situation certainly can and should be added. Cross-browser functionality. Different browsers and different versions of a browser will inevitably be used by learners and instructors to access the online instruction. In other words, all learners might not use the same browsers. Participants may not upgrade their browsers at the same rate, and types and versions of browser being used may not be fully compatible with web applications or the LMS. The most up-to-date version of the browser will not always be needed. Many individuals prefer to keep a stable browser, rather than often updating it. Either way, designers and technical staff should check to see how online instruction works with the most recent version of web browsers. If there are issues with different browsers and use, notice should be provided to the learners. Accessibility requirements. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, and the Web Accessibility Initiative, W3C, are very important standards for designers to closely follow and implement. Websites must meet ADA requirements. There are additional requirements required by other groups, such as the U.S. Department of Education. Copyright issues. The Technology, Education, and Copyright Harmonization Act extends the fair use guidelines of the Copyright Act of 1976 to distance education settings and ensures that online instructors have the same rights and responsibilities as instructors in traditional classrooms. The Copyright Act of 1976 refers to, quote, the legal rights to an original work and set the conditions under which anyone may copy, in whole or part, original works transmittable in any medium, end quote. Regarding the fair use exception, Smaldino et al. State that, quote, there are no absolute guidelines for determining what constitutes fair use in an educational setting. The law sets forth four basic criteria for describing fair use, end quote. STEM identifies these criteria as 1. Purpose and character of use. Why is the material being used? 2. Nature of the copyrighted work. What is the type of work being used? 3. Amount of copyrighted work used. How much of the work is used? 4. Effect of the use on the market. Will the use influence market value? However, use of these four basic criteria does not mean that an instructor or instructional designer has carte blanche in the use of materials. Authorized use requires express, written permission that specifies the conditions for use of copyrighted materials. If questions arise about the use of copyright, designers should investigate ramifications of using the material. Some copyrighted materials can be password protected, guaranteeing that only the appropriate users, instructor, author, learners, can access the information. For example, access to an institutional library electronic databases and materials may require security authorization. Most LMSs limit access to the instruction by requiring user IDs and passwords for authentication and login. To avoid copyright entanglements, designers can use works in the public domain, create their own content, or obtain written permission to use copyrighted works, which may incur a fee to the copyright owner. Digital resources, as presented earlier, from the Creative Commons can also be used. There are a multitude of open educational resources that can be incorporated into online instruction. In addition, many organizations have policies related to intellectual property that must be followed. Libraries and organizations offering distance programs are a prime source of information and support in the area of copyright. Maintenance issues. Another technical concern experienced when developing online instruction is maintaining the instruction. External links that are active during development may not continue to work during implementation. Review and testing of such links and sites is required for the instruction's continued success. Some systems, including some LMSs, have features that permit automatic testing of links and requires a response from the designer so that updates can be made. In many ways, online instruction is in a state of continual development. The notion that the instruction is never actually completed requires that the instructor or someone at the client's location be responsible for the website after its development. A maintenance plan should be instituted to ensure that the website remains current each time it is implemented. Maintenance concerns related to implementation will be explored in Chapter 9. Gardenscape. Elliot is investigating the technical issues that the design team may face. He identifies questions to ask Layla Gunnarsson, who is in technical support. Is there a development or testing site on the LMS to create a prototype? What URL will learners use to access the site? Are there protocols for file organization? Are there learner access concerns I should be aware of? How will learners be entered into the LMS? Are there other policies that I need to know? Are files automatically backed up? Who will provide technical support when problems arise? His other concerns are related to ADA and copyright. Working with Layla and her staff, Elliot identifies the most appropriate solutions for his technical and other concerns. General technical concerns. Learners will be able to access the instructional site via home computers. Learner access ranges from DLS to broadband connections. Some learners may use their mobile devices, cell phones or tablets, to take the course. It is anticipated that there will be extensive use of visuals and video to showcase the many ways that gardens can be created. Access to systems will be maintained 24 hours, 7 days per week. Server capabilities. After learners register, they will be entered into the LMS by continuing education. The TLDC will be responsible for initial technology support and ensuring developer access to the LMS. The college's information technology and computer support personnel will address concerns that TLDC cannot resolve. ADA requirements. CJC mandates that all instruction meet ADA requirements. All videos will be closed captioned. An accessibility checklist will be used to ensure that the instruction is compliant with all policies and practices. Copyright issues. The TLDC or the SMEs will generate all visuals and pictures on the site. In the case of a copyrighted visual being acquired, written permission of the copyright holder will be obtained and filed with the lesson documentation. Use of web editors. The development team will use the internal LMS editor when developing the online instruction. Formative evaluation and development. In the evaluation planning stage, the plans for conducting the formative evaluation process were completed and placed in the design document. See Chapter 5. Formative evaluation began with the design tasks in the concurrent design stage and continues with the development tasks. As the online instruction evolves from design plans to prototypes, interface, storyboards, etc., to final product, the last phase of formative evaluation, end user tryouts, occurs. This phase may include all or some of the target member tryouts, such as one-to-one, small group, and field trials. As discussed in Chapter 2 and 5, the field trial may be the initial implementation of the online instruction. These tryouts allow the designer, instructor, expert reviewers, and learners to work through the online instruction to identify instructional and technical problems. Modifications are made to the directions, instructional content, and activities as needed to improve the instruction. Support resources, such as technical directions, are integrated into the learning environment as needed. The more attention that is paid to the online instruction and its learning environment during this last phase, the higher quality and higher fidelity the implemented course will be. Gardenscapes. Throughout the concurrent design stage, Elliot, with Callie's assistance, has conducted formative evaluation on their plans and deliverables to make sure that all of the instructional elements that they are working on align to their plan. For their formal formative evaluation efforts, they perform the tryout group activities, one-to-one and field trials. Formative evaluation tryouts. Conduct one-to-one evaluations where the target audience will review design drafts and storyboards. A novice internet learner who is a beginning gardener. An expert internet learner who is a novice gardener. An expert internet learner who is a knowledgeable gardener. The field trial will consist of working with 17 members of the target audience who will work through the completed lesson during the first offering of the Gardenscapes course. The progression of Gardenscapes design plan to prototype requires some changes based on the tryouts. Reviewers, for example, propose changes for the interface design. Elliot also asks about the lesson titles. Based on the results of the one-to-ones and other reviews, the titles are kept as is. Formative evaluation continues through the field trial, where the questions detailed in the evaluation plan are addressed by a larger sample of participants. Wrapping up. In this chapter, we describe the concerns related to developing instruction and the web pages that comprise the website. Using the specifications from the WBI strategy worksheet and principles related to message and visual design, the web development tasks of the concurrent design stage begin. The interface, flowcharts, and storyboards are initial prototypes and are used to develop effective and attractive web pages and website, gain client approval, and provide the design team a conceptual understanding of the project. The designer uses these prototypes to develop the online instruction either in an LMS or as part of a website. Questions on technical issues ranging from load speed, cross-browser functionality, and issues related to ADA requirements, copyright, and use of web editors were identified. Finally, issues related to formative evaluation were addressed. Extending your skills. Case Study 1, PK-12 Schools. Megan Bifford has begun the development of her case study. Buzz and students have provided input into her design and provided feedback using the formative evaluation of her design document. Megan is working on her interface, which will be simple, using the major sections of the case study analysis worksheet. Because the focus of the case is inquiry and science, icons will include graphics of scientists, scientific tools, and question marks. Each icon that is selected will relate to the concepts in the case study. A simple visual design that includes all worksheet sections will make up the interface. Because the case will be part of a classroom center, extensive directions are not required. Teachers will use the WSI as a supplement to their class materials and partially direct the experience. Megan uses the district LMS to create her website. She has a meeting scheduled with the district's computer support information technology staff to address security and technical concerns, and is starting to identify the questions she wants to have answered. Throughout this development, Megan will test her links, graphics, and web pages. Of particular interest to Megan are issues related to ADA. Some children in the schools have an IEP, Individual Education Plan, and may require accommodations for full use of the online instructional materials. When she has a working prototype, she will share it with Cassie, Ainsley, and Buzz for feedback. Case Study 2, Business and Industry. With Stacy McGee's assistance, Homer Spotwood's program on safety is ready for development. Stacy has completed the TOAB. Homer's next task is to sketch an interface and select appropriate graphics that will support learners while they participate in the online portion of the class. A range of computer skills are held by M2 employees, and the interface must be intuitive to all employees. In addition, since some employees may access the instruction through slow internet connections, the website should load quickly to minimize learner frustration. Homer wants to integrate a metaphor into the visual design to help employees link plant safety operations and the online training. Homer and Stacy talk about how to design the interface as a representation of the plant floor. They sketch their ideas to share with the graphic artist who has been hired to work with a contracted web programmer. Based on the interface ideas and the instructional strategies, Stacy will create a flowchart and a set of storyboards. Homer has several meetings scheduled with the technical support group, headed by Nancy Wells, to address the concerns that the development team and plant employees will face. The web programmer will create the website on the plant's backup server and will need access to technology resources. For implementation, however, the website will be hosted on an outsourced server that contains an LMS. Funding for this outsourcing will flow through the technology group and will be part of the ROI calculations that CEO Bud Cottrell is interested in. The web programmer will create documentation to assist M2 programmers in updating the website after development is completed, and Homer will ask for guidance on what information M2 programmers will need for that continuing support. Case Study 3, Military. The commanding officer of the Training Support Center, Captain Prentice, has been impressed by the thoroughness of planning by Commander Rebecca Feinstein's team. Their analysis, evaluation plans, and design strategies are consistent with the vision and direction of the Naval Education and Training Command and the Naval Personnel Development Command. The three E²C² major topic teams press on with their development of functional prototypes of their individual courses. A great advantage they enjoy is their use of the Learning Content Management System, LCMS. This system allows them to author content, import media, link to external resources, create assessment items, and develop glossaries, all within a collaborative digital environment, even while some may be traveling. An additional advantage is that the periodic peer reviews from the formative evaluation plan are conducted using the same LCMS. This integrated design and development architecture enhances their production efficiency. As prototype development continues, the teams determine the requirements for multimedia. Storyboards and scripts are developed to explain their instructional strategy to the supporting teams of graphic artists and animators. They determine that the information provided in several of the animations can be enhanced by explanatory narrations and contract with a professional to provide those narrations. Format standards for visuals, animations, and videography are agreed to and applied across the board. Finally, the LCMS development templates include an interface design and navigation scheme that is the same Navy-wide. What results is a seamless transition from one lesson to the other with continuity of style. Although peer reviews provide valuable information, each of the teams voices concern that a prototypical learner would not have had input before the products went online. Since the development teams are co-located with the TSE's A schools, Lieutenant Bob Carroll is able to enlist the help of 21 junior sailors in the pool waiting to commence their training. These sailors provide valuable insight as to what visual designs, amount of information per visual, and practice items appeal to and work for them. Suggestions are incorporated in the training where possible. Case Study 4. Higher Education. Based on the syllabi, the objectives and assessment for advanced management and leadership are completed, as well as a set of instructional and motivational strategies. Dr. Joe Sean and his TA, Brian Cody, are ready to flowchart and storyboard each of the blended class sessions using the course schedule that has been created. Each will have similar types of web pages: introduction, objectives, lesson materials, including presentations and activities, a practice assignment, and a summary. In addition, a separate LMS site for the face-to-face classes will be developed. The development of the website will occur within the university's LMS, minimizing the need for interface design. However, message design, instructional content, directions, and assignments must be exceptionally clear and concise. Because the course is blended, student participation and assignments in the online sessions will not have the immediate feedback from Dr. Sean, which is similar to their on-campus sessions. Clear messages will assist students in completing the online work. As part of his development duties, Brian works for the university's Information Technology Center to make sure that Dr. Sean has all of the tools and access that he needs to begin creating web pages for the online class sessions. Brian uploads all of Dr. Sean's presentations to the LMS. For the online sessions, Dr. Sean creates the audio narrations for the presentations. These narrations must be completed before uploading. Before Dr. Sean actually creates the web pages, he investigates how he can incorporate publisher materials into his lessons. His textbook publisher has course cartridges that can be imported into the university's LMS. Depending on the materials that he can import without breaking copyright laws, the actual materials that he develops may be different than originally planned.